For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. You know, last year in the Super Bowl, there was lots of bets going on. A lot of people got nervous when Kansas City was down, even in the fourth quarter, but they pulled through for those Kansas City bettors, and they're right back here in the opener this season. So for game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, Bet Online gives you more options to wager than any place online. And there's always the online casino as well. It never closes. So head to betonline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's betonline.ag and sign up today. Bet Online, your online sportsbooks experts. What's up, everybody? Welcome into a brand new episode of the Believe in Clippers podcast. Jesse Cass and Alex Acker with you here as always. Thanks again for tuning in. If you enjoy the show, remember you can rate and review on Apple. 5 stars always helps us out, and we're available wherever else podcasts can be found. And with all that good stuff out of the way, Alex, what's going on? We got a lot of good stuff to talk about this week.
Yeah, man, we got some great stuff. The draft just hit, man, so some great stuff going on.
Yeah, of course, the draft a few weeks back, NBA free agency, you know, most guys obviously have signed. There's still some pieces to fall, but, some waves being made for both the players that left and the main player that the Clippers brought in. So we can get into all of it here on the Believe in Clippers podcast. And Alex, I think we'll start with one of the players who left, because it's obviously such a dramatic way to leave when you leave your team and go to maybe their biggest rival in what Montrezl Harrell did. So I think we'll start there. You know, Clippers fans, I don't think they were too upset that he left, because it felt like that writing was kind of on the wall. He obviously had such a bad playoff performance, and, you know, there was stuff in the offseason about some discontent, but obviously him going across the hall to the Lakers is a little bit of a shock, and, you know, especially since he didn't really go for much money, you know, the mid-level, you know, $9 million a year, essentially, a bit of surprise all around. But what are your takes on Montrez moving across the hall?
Man, I think it was a great business decision for him. You know, just me being a player, saves a lot of money just going next door. You know, you might have to leave your house too far. You know, so, but from the standpoint as a fan, I'm pretty sure that it was a slap in the face. You know what I mean? Because they had a great key piece, Montrez, there this year, outstanding player, man, phenomenal perimeter guy, and can defend. And it's not just like they lost something; they lost like a really good all-star, you know, a caliber player that helped this team a lot. So, I respect the move more than anything, and I salute it for sure, but it just made Lakers even more dominant to the point of, you know, an unstoppable team that they are right now.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think, you know, obviously Clipper fans have loved Montrez for the energy that he's brought and, you know, everything that he's done over the years. Really over the past, I think this past season, even though, as you said, he won Sixth Man of the Year, it seemed like, and we saw it in the, you know, the team letting go Doc Rivers, it seemed like the team in general was kind of just moving away from Montrez. And as we said, we saw in the playoffs, you know, in particular, they were tough matchups for him because he's undersized, but, you know, really got exposed by Jokic and, you know, Boban the round before. And just specifically when it comes to playoff basketball, at least having him as one of your, you know, maybe core guys who's playing 30 minutes a game is not conducive to what they were looking to do. So I think, you know, I think it makes sense why they didn't want to bring him back. And also, for him, like you said, you know, now he can go to a team where, you know, he might not be in their closing lineup. So I don't know if he'll be happy about that, but he'll certainly be able to have his weaknesses maybe hidden a little more with a guy like Anthony Davis and now Marc Gasol, other guys that can kind of help him and allow him to still play, you know, the minutes that he would hope to get.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and besides that too, I see him getting even better, you know, playing with this guy every day in practice, you know, so he's going to get better from that point. But just the beast that he is, man, I think he has great upside as far as what he can deliver and what he can bring. It's a great category for him as a six man. That means that he's doing any and everything for the team to make them win, you know. So he's a team player, and he's willing to do that and show it.
Yeah, and I mean, look, he was signed to Clutch, obviously, and is signed to Clutch, and we know that's basically LeBron Inc. And they, you know, they made that work in bringing him across the hall. And you know, like you said, obviously, if the Clippers don't make an offer, which it doesn't seem like they did, then he's got to make his move elsewhere. And I do think the playoffs probably cost him a fair bit of money. It was out there that Charlotte had a bigger offer for him out there. Not sure, you know, how much bigger. But, you know, I'm sure coming into the year, and, you know, there are so many factors that play into it, you know, with COVID and obviously, you know, the unfortunate death of Montrez's grandmother and going into the bubble and, you know, everything that led to, you know, a poor showing in the playoffs. But I think, you know, we were talking a year ago about Montrez maybe getting paid anywhere from $15 to $20 million a year. And that basically got cut in half to, you know, $9, $10 million. So I think, like you said,
I think teams use that to their advantage, you know, being the fact that he had a poor effort as far as in the playoffs. I think that was his shine where he could have exploded, you know. But he did have a lot of setbacks from the beginning where he missed a lot of games, you know, due to family absences. And it played a lot of toll on him getting back into the groove and the mix for the team is moving towards a standpoint of knocking over great caliber teams like, you know, the Denver Nuggets and stuff like that. So he was still trying to play catch up, at, you know, they were trying to, you know, figure it out inside the bubble too. So it was hard, man, for real. It definitely was for him to show his full potential. But we know what kind of player he is, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously short term, it's going to help the Lakers in the fact that I think one of the things that they were looking for most, you know, coming off this championship run and playing with the very short turnaround that they're going to have with the season starting so soon, we know they're planning on kind of easing LeBron and Anthony Davis and the key guys back in. You know, they can potentially rest them a couple games and really just roll with Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell, who can, at least in the regular season, put up big numbers and win you some games like that. Whether that translates into the playoffs, not quite sure, but obviously for them, it just adds to the depth and gives them a little bit different dynamic that they didn't have a year ago. Montrez gone, the player that the Clippers ended up essentially replacing him with, and also we do need to mention Jamichael Green ended up signing in Denver after Denver lost Jeremy Grant. So, you know, Green arguably just through his versatility could be even an even bigger loss than Montrez, but that the guy the Clippers brought in to replace both those guys, at least in my opinion, was the person that they had to sign, the perfect fit for their team in Serge Ibaka. Now, you know, I'll give my opinion as well, but what do you think about the Ibaka signing and how he fits with the Clippers?
Man, the Ibaka was great. That threw me for a loop. I really thought Ibaka literally was going to go to the Brooklyn Nets, to be honest with you,
yeah.
Due to the fact he had the relationship with Durant, and he was kind of alluding of the pitch when he had his little cook show. I remember watching that, but yeah, to see him out here in the West Coast, his game fits very well for the up and down tempo. He's a great perimeter 3-point shooter, pick and pop, and they need a caliber as far as defense, you know, that they're missing from Montrez. So it goes hand in hand. They lost something, but they gained a little bit more. And I'm talking about experience for a gentleman that's Serge Ibaka's caliber that actually won a chip, you know what I mean? So getting over that hump, you need more pieces like that in order to get over this this wall that they're accomplished, you know, getting over this hurdle.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, like you kind of just ran down the list, but there's so many reasons why it's a great signing for the Clippers and why he was kind of the right guy for them to add to this roster. And you mentioned the ability to shoot the three from the either the power forward or the center position, most likely center minutes for Ibaka, whether he's starting or backing up Zubats, but he'll play a lot no matter what. But the ability to, as you said, knock down the three ball and at the same time be a really stout defender. He obviously has his history as a shot blocker, but just in terms of just protecting the rim in general, does a great job, knows defensive schemes, and then on top of it, obviously has a relationship with Kawhi Leonard and knows how to play with him and win with him as he just did a few years ago in Toronto. So, you know, maybe that was the determining factor. As you said, he had that relationship with Durant as well, but more recently with Kawhi, and maybe Kawhi was the one who helped push that over the top.
Yeah, true. They needed Kawhi to push that over the top for sure.
Yeah, so
yeah. I think they fit well together, man. With Kawhi definitely needs some blood that he's played with before to help him as well, knowing his game. So that's going to be a good piece. You know what I mean? To have a big man to make decisions at the top of the key like that, like he doesn't hesitate, man. He's open. He shot. He knocks down threes. You know what I mean? He can put the ball on the floor. And he can do a lot of things on offense as well as defense. You know, he's going to be a serious problem. But he's going to be a threat on offense to these big guys, too, trying to step out and try to guard him as well.
Yeah, and it just opens up the floor and gives a dynamic that the team, you know, Jermichael Green provided that, you know, in spurts, but obviously didn't get probably as many minutes as he should have. But, you know, that type of player where he can defend and give you that versatility with his size and be a real, you know, defensive stalwart as a center, but also really create space and stretch the floor for the team offensively, where, you know, obviously they have other players who Zubats is more on the interior. Montrez, of course, was on the interior. With Ibaka, you can have the floor spread and not lose anything defensively. You can have him knock down threes, open the floor for everyone else, and still be able to succeed on the other end.
Yep, definitely.
And, you know, the Clippers, I think the offseason has been somewhat quiet outside of those kind of loud moves. But on draft night, we did get, of course, you know, the 2 second-round picks. But I think more importantly to Clipper fans, a trade that happened on draft night. Landry Shamet, who, of course, has been a fan favorite, a good shooter, young player with a lot of promise. Yeah. They sent him out for another young player with promise, Luke Kennard, just a year older, an inch taller. Slightly better from slightly better 3-point shooter and ball handler, but similar players. What did you think of the trade to bring Luke Kennard in and send Landry Shamet to Brooklyn? Shamet to Brooklyn in a 3-team deal.
No, I think you nailed it for sure. Lucas is a savage, man. You know what I mean? He has his own style. He's not trying to be something but himself out there, and you know what you're getting when it comes to him. As far as Shamet, though, he's a great young talent, still trying to find himself, and he's hungry to run to get minutes, you know what I mean? But Luka has definitely earned his minutes and his stripes playing with the Detroit Pistons. I've watched a lot of games of him, and, you know, that lefty, he's lights out, you know what I mean, from the perimeter. So it's no second-guessing. He's putting it on the floor. He's executing. And that extra inch, like you said, is definitely helpful as far as the perimeter.
Yeah, you take whatever you can get in the height department, and and I think even though Shamet, you know, does have ball handling ability, you know, his role in the Clippers was obviously coming off curls and screens and, you know, catch and shoot threes, and we'll see that with Luke Kennard. But I think also he has an underrated ability in Kennard to run a lot of pick and roll, and we know we've talked about this team's need for another ball handler, another point guard. Kennard is not a point guard, but he certainly can help run offense and, you know, at times take pressure off Paul George and Kawhi Leonard and them having to have the ball in their hands all the time. You have another guy who can kind of create some offense for you.
True. That is true. And you don't have to worry about him bringing the ball up and stuff. And it's just a great perimeter shooter all around, man. I really like this transition and this trade. I'm really hoping that they'll lock into putting a package deal so they can get what they really need. You know what I mean? Is a point guard.
And Alex, to your point about adding a point guard, we know that the offseason is not over, but the next season is quickly approaching. Training camp starts in a couple of days, so any additions that you want to make to your roster, you would figure the Clippers would do in the next few days. But, you know, the point guard market that was out there, free agent-wise, is pretty dry. We know that they've added Kai Bowman from the Warriors, who, you know, could make the team, could not. But free agent-wise, there's really not many point guards left out there. We know we've heard rumblings that there could be a trade in the works, but nothing concrete there. What do you think is the best way for them to go about adding a point guard? You know, the only trade pieces that they have right now that they'd want to part with or could part with are obviously guys who handle the ball already, and Patrick Beverley and Lou Williams, and then you have Zubats, obviously the big man, but I don't think they'd want to trade him. So, you know, we've heard Lou Williams' name out there a lot. To get rid of him, I feel like you need to get a lot back. So it's an interesting dilemma and dynamic for them.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. I think for me, if I was a GM, I'd probably look for somebody, some fresh blood. If you can mold into a great point guard throughout the season, I really don't have no names throughout there right now. I'm Powell from, where's my man at? Seton Hall, I think that's this team you went to. Excellent perimeter. I forgot his name. What the heck?
Oh yeah, Miles Powell. He signed at least a training camp invite with the Knicks. So he's at least for the moment has a team that he's trying to make. But you know, you never know if he'll become available.
Damn. Yeah. I like Powell for sure, man. I think they just need a scoring point guard more than anything, man. You know, can get a ball up, but at the same time create for itself and not be such a limited liability out there that they're going under screens and stuff like that. So I think that's going to be a good suit for them. They can find somebody that can actually put the ball in the hole from the man. I think that's the biggest key right there.
Yeah, and we've talked about it a little bit, but say if the Clippers keep this primary roster that we see right now intact, how comfortable would you feel with, you know, right now, essentially the backup point guard is Terrence Mann. Now, you still have Lou Williams who handles the ball. You still have Kennard, as we just said, who handles the ball. But how confident are you in a young guy like Terrence Mann to potentially get some significant minutes if this is how the roster is constructed?
No, yeah, I'm a Terrence Mann fan. You know what I mean? I love the way he plays, and I love his energy that he comes out there. Whatever minutes he gets, he's ready to play. And he's not that rookie greeting, I'm trying to get points to show everybody that I can score. He really is looking to do the right things, taking less, you know, turnovers as possible and running the team. And that goes a long way as far as in a rookie standpoint, that he's here because he wants to play and he wants to learn the game. He's going to be a sponge, you know. And we talked about it last time as having, you know, Chauncey Billups as a huge piece to teaching him, you know, key things to help him get along the way and be assertive when they do put him out there. So I'm a big fan for sure.
And I think that, man, you know, like, who knows how many minutes he'll be asked to play. It probably won't be a ton at the outset, but one thing that I've liked about him and just, you know, his short time as a rookie is, you know, as you said, obviously someone who has potential, but I, you know, just the toughness that he showed, you know, early in the season, you know, he got in a little scuffle with Luka Doncic, who's obviously one of the best players in the game, and just his refusal to kind of back down from anyone, you know, that's not always common for a rookie in the league. And he of course has, you know, big size for a point guard. You know, there's things he has to develop. We saw his shot coming along at the end of the year, but if that is something they can pull out of him and develop with guys like Chauncey Billups and, you know, the coaching staff they put together, which has a developmental flow to it, you know, he could be a surprise for people in what he could bring to the team.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I haven't seen a point guard that can actually shoot lights out. You know, Steph Curry had a hell of a time trying to shoot, you know, coming into the league his first year. So you never know, you know, his work ethic is off the charts from what I'm hearing. And, you know, know, that goes a long way, you know. So hats off to him. He's been working hella hard in this summer, this off season, proving himself that he can do, you know, certain things and be capable of running the team when it's time. So I'm looking forward to it for sure.
Yeah, so we'll see if the Clippers kind of entrust him with some backup point guard minutes. That'll be interesting. We know that one of the other spots that they might be looking to fill could be maybe a backup wing or backup power forward. We know they re-signed Patrick Patterson as well, who could get some of those minutes. But what do you feel comfortable? Say same kind of question with Terrence Mann. Do you feel comfortable with Patterson as the primary backup forward? Do you think they still need to look for more out there on the free agent market before training camp starts?
Man, yeah, they gotta look for. There's some good power forwards out there for sure. Patterson does a great job for the minutes he got, but you know, I think he is a liability on defense for sure. He can pick and pop, he can shoot the corner, just three, just at the best of them for sure. I would similarly think of him like a PJ Tucker, but a little bit more of what he does because he actually dribbles once, you know.
Yeah.
But, no shade on PJ Tucker, but. The same point though, you got to get a little bit more in this day and age out of your power forward than what he brings for sure. I think they should really, you know, set the market for that.
And I think that might be one of the places in, you know, in the market that there is talent still out there, and I think honestly some of the reason we've seen kind of this holding pattern for the Clippers is there's a lot of guys who either could become available, whether they're, you know, cut from teams that don't want to spend that money or traded because they have too many roster spots. But, you know, a guy like Nick Batum, who he's kind of been in basketball purgatory with the Hornets for a couple of years, but they're looking to, you know, either cut him or trade him after signing Gordon Hayward. He's someone who has a lot of versatility and talent still. You know, Dwayne Dedman was just cut. He's a big man who can shoot the ball and defend. So there's guys like that out there that I think could be helpful if they, you know, the Clippers add them before the season starts.
Yeah, nah, Nick Batum is a great guy. French assassin, man. Yeah, he gets the job done for sure.
Yeah, in looking at this roster, we know you mentioned the backup point guard. What jumps out to you in terms of, do you think... You know, we obviously say we think they need to do a little bit more, but as constructed in general, how confident do you feel about this team going forward? We know that whether it's before training camp or trade deadline later in the year, there will be some moves made, but in general, what's your feelings about the team and how far they can go?
I think they can't get over that hump, even with Paul George, for sure. But I think right now it's looking promising. They really have to figure out these pieces. A lot of chess pieces have been moved right now. Great players is moving around real fast, you know. So definitely need some horses in there that can fit the pieces that are missing for this puzzle. Because no matter what, man, at the end of the day, you got to figure out how to get over. You got to put the ball in the basket in the fourth quarter. You know, that's the name of the game. You can't have this dilemma that we had in the playoffs where you can't even, you know, the fourth quarter comes, you're running out of gas. So that was the biggest key right there, is figuring out how to, you know, put the ball in the basket at the end of the day. That's how I see it. So they need some more horses to figure this out.
Yeah, I think right now, you know, one of the biggest strengths, obviously, of the team last year was depth and how deep they were. And we know playoff time, that gets shortened up anyway. But I think, yeah, I do think a few more pieces need to be added. I think they're still right in the mix and going to be, you know, one of the top two or three teams in the Western Conference. And then, obviously, you take your chances from there. But, you know, I think a few more pieces need to be added just to round out the roster. And I think one of the most important things... Talent-wise, they're still right up there, but making sure they have the chemistry right, because we know that was an issue last year, and, you know, there's, of course, new coaching staff with Ty Lue, they're going to do things a little differently, but I think the tools and the pieces are there, but just on the fringes, if you, like we said, backup four, backup one, additional depth. I think those things can be improved, before the team gets going.
Yeah. Yep, you hit it on the head, yep. So we got a lot of more soul searching, and it's not just like the five that's out there or the team. They got a whole new coaching staff. It's a whole new system. You know what I mean? So plays a huge toll. I mean, rolling into everything as well too. But being the fact that you had an assistant that knows what was missing. You know what I mean? Now he has the full 100% voice to come in and change things around. That can be an advantage. I look at it as well too. What do you think about that?
No, I think so. I think absolutely. And we talked about when the coaching change was made, just kind of the small tweaks that could really unlock some greatness from this roster. So I'm still confident that that's going to be the case. And the staff that they put together, I think, is a really, really good staff. So I'm confident about that. And I think one thing that will probably help them a little bit, not that these guys shy away from pressure at all, but last year we had all the talk of, not every expert, but a majority of experts kind of picking the Clippers to win the championship and being the best team in the league. And while they're certainly still in that tier, I think rightfully so right now. The Lakers, of course, won the championship. They added pieces to their team. I think right now the Lakers have all the attention and pressure of being labeled the best team in the league, and the Clippers can somewhat fly under the radar. They're still going to have a lot of pressure and expectations, but I think, the talk around the offseason has not been as optimistic as it was last year, and that might honestly be a good thing because the roster is still very talented.
Yeah, true. Before we can even see the Lakers, we got to get over Denver right now, man. That's the key. If we see them, we got to be able to get over the Joker.
That is true. I think one thing in the offseason that is advantageous for the Clippers, especially when it comes to Denver, is, Jerami Grant took that big money to go to Detroit, and he was really the primary guy that made it tough on Kawhi Leonard in that series. So he's gone. We know Jermichael Green, of course, left the Clippers and went to Denver. That's a help for them, but I think the Jerami Grant departure is a big deal for Denver. They don't really have as many perimeter defenders that can really hold down guys like Kawhi and Paul George. And you throw in the fact Torrey Craig also left for Milwaukee. So those are two of their better perimeter defenders that are gone. So I think that's big on both moves for Denver.
Yeah. They got to figure it out too. They got to play some chess, figure that out as well. Yeah.
So we'll see. As we said, training camp is right around the corner. It'll start next week. So we're gonna, see what other moves are made, and then we're gonna get ready to talk about kind of the flow, the start of the season, and how things go. But we're officially back and rolling and ready to go for a new season real soon.
Man, this is fast. I love it. I love it. Let's go.
Yeah,
you kind of get like an NBA package 2-for-1 type deal.
yeah, exactly. And I think the best way to wipe the taste of, no way to sugarcoat it, one of the worst losses we've ever seen out of your mouth is to get back and get going right away. So
hurry up. Nobody talk about it. We got a whole another season coming.
Yeah, exactly. We'll put that one in the rear view and get ready for the future. So, Alex, good stuff as always. We'll talk again, as we said, next week and keep it going.
Definitely. All right, guys.
And that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Believe in Clippers podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. Big thank you, as always, to my co-host, Alex Acker. And throw out a big thanks to Serge Ibaka for kind of saving the Clippers offseason there and bringing a great deal of talent and versatility to the roster after losing a couple of key pieces. We know out there, scrolling through Twitter and Clipper Nation that I think a lot of fans were fine with Montrez leaving. As we said, it's just the move of going across the hall to the Lakers, which stings, even if you were happy about him going, whether you weren't. We can be polite on this show, but a little bit of a lame move, but we'll see. He's on the other side now. Of course, wish him well as a great person that he is, but won't be rooting for him on the court anymore, and that's okay. It'll be some fun, even more spicy Clippers-Lakers matchups coming up in this upcoming season, which is coming up very soon. We know December 22nd is the start date. Training camps open next week, preseason about a week or so after that, so we're ready to get rolling, as we said here on the Believe in Clippers podcast. And you can follow along with us here wherever you get your podcasts. We got you covered. So until next week, Jesse Cass signing off. We'll talk to you again on the Believe Podcast Network, LA's number one sports podcast network, and the only place for the show for every team in LA and more. We believe in our LA teams. Do you believe? Go Clips.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.